Well, if it's Thursday afternoon, we talk soccer with Indiana men's soccer head coach, my great friend Todd Yeagley, joins the program. And it's been a busy, well, three matches, coach, since we've seen you last. Two at home, the two home openers in the IU Credit Union Adidas Classic, and then a road trip last night to the Selleck Bowl up in Indianapolis with our friends Butler. So two familiar programs out of the three, and one we haven't seen since, 1999. And, I think Yale won that year. That was the year the Brown Classic won 2-2 after five games before Indiana went on to win a national championship, if I'm getting everything all confused and put together on that. So here we are, not the hottest start to the season, but it is. You've gone on the road twice. You've had two home games. First of all, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Glass. Thanks for having me.
Well, I always appreciate you making time for our listeners as well. Very exciting weekend last weekend, having the IU Credit Union Adidas Classic with Notre Dame on a Thursday, Yale on a Sunday, the Labor Day weekend. All around it, and Indiana finishing the week with a draw and a win, first win of the season. Our friends Notre Dame, it's just six wins, three draws in the last nine, and it just doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like a war every time that you guys get together. Nice to see the ball go in the back of the net. I thought the second half was really, really good. Were you pleased with the turnaround after the St. Louis the Friday before?
Yeah, we were really pleased, honestly. I thought the first half, I thought it was kind of a back and forth. They have a lot of good players returning from their team. The play in the national final obviously beat us in the Elite Eight, and so we knew they were again going to be a very capable team in the national scene. And I thought the first half again back and forth a bit. Neither team kind of got fully a hold of it, but it was exciting. I thought it was good soccer on both ends. I still think we had a little bit better at first half. In the second half, I thought we really took a hold of it and made it really hard for them. We had a lot of good possessions and dangerous looks that, they made some plays. I mean, they had some blocks. I wouldn't say it was, lack of composure on our end, but it was, I thought they made some plays, but as we did to get the two goals, two great goals with Nessie being his first, and nice to see Tommy with that opportunity, low back post to take it. And then the unfortunate moment that led to their goal was really a referee official error, which is hard looking back on how that play developed. But I told the guys after that draw, I said, listen, you play like that, you're going to win a lot of games. It still kind of stung a bit, but they felt good because they had such a tough performance to start the year. I think they felt really good. Okay, this is what we can do. They certainly felt the win was there for them, but I felt they left that game very confident heading into the Yale game.
And when you do it against a big-time opponent, huge crowd as well, 4,500 and change on that Thursday night, one of the biggest here in recent memory. So you had a big crowd, a big opponent. And what was it, three goals in 3 minutes? Do I have that right? Hell broke loose there for a minute, buddy. We're celebrating one dog pile. There's another dog pile. Then for folks that weren't at the game, was it handball that wasn't handball? How did Notre Dame get that free kick? And what did you see on the restart that bothered you a little bit?
Yeah, so it was our throw, kind of our back third. And Barker was trying to get our guys in position, kind of our throw in shape. And the official was trying to speed him up and gesturing, and as he's throwing it, he blows the whistle. So Patrick McDonald had no vision of the official. He, we say stop when you hear the whistle because you could get a card, so it could have been an injured player. It could have been a substitution, anything. Well, so Patrick catches it, and instead of the official understanding there was confusion, because immediately our guys were like, listen, we heard a whistle. We're not going to catch the ball. And easy to give a rethrow. You could give a drop ball, play it to either team. There's so many scenarios for a very good, experienced referee. He just missed it and gave them a free kick in a dangerous spot, which led to their goal. So, it was I tried not to focus much on that and really – actually, as the time's gone on, it's upset me more.
I was going to say, right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you want them to earn the moment, and you get your own possession turns into a dangerous free kick for the team. That can't happen from a referee's whistle.
And that's obviously not reviewable. One that doesn't fall under the umbrella.
It doesn't, no. And the officials, the assigners and some of our key officials have reviewed it and obviously feel really bad about what happened, and it's inexcusable what was the on-the-field call. You can't create confusion with a whistle, and it would have been an easy solve. He just overreacted, and yet, of course, it's still they're going to score a free kick, but different if it's in midfield even, or even in our front half class, I still would be like, what just happened? But giving them a free kick in a dangerous spot from our own throw, so it's like a double penalty, you know, is pretty inexcusable for an official.
It is. So you're a black cat carrying walking under ladders with broken mirror glass underneath continues 2 weeks in a row.
I think you might be right. I've gotten rid of every ladder in my house. I've thrown them out. I mean, as we know, we've a couple penalties already, and it's
all right. It's early doors. Early doors. No point in panicking just yet. Todd Yeagley is our guest, Indiana men's soccer. The draw with Notre Dame, the exciting part was seeing, obviously, the ball go in the back of the net. We talked about Nessie last week, the freshman. You really enjoy what he brings to your side, and getting Tommy Mihalik confident. Well, he had a busy week here in the last three games. We'll get to all of that as well. Out of the run of play, a little bit of a press, putting the pressure on and paying off. But I think the one thing that you would be most pleased with, the possession was great. Being a little bit more aggressive in the final third, I think that stood out in half two against Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that first game out, that felt like a performance that you'd expect. And even against a really good side, you may not expect to have that much of it against Notre Dame. You know it's going to be a back and forth. Typically those games, there's more of the first half, a little back and forth. They have some moments, we have some moments. Neither team might grab a hold of it for any long stretch. So for us to take a hold of the game for that stretch was really good. Again, against a really, if we were playing an average team, I would say, okay, well, we maybe should do that. But Notre Dame has really good, they're very well coached. They have some very talented players all on every line. Fantastic keeper who made some amazing saves. The two goals were very good. And as you mentioned, Nessie, he's got a lot of goal scoring instinct. He's, for a freshman, whether it's in training or in the limited time he's, had with us so far, he's shown to be pretty effective. And that's not easy for a freshman, but he's got a lot of good ideas. He's got good technical ability, and he loves to finish, and he's clinical. So the goal, I wouldn't say was fortunate. I think that goal that he scored against Notre Dame is definitely in his wheelhouse and one that hopefully we can see some more of.
Sometimes, and you can help me out here, it feels like you need a couple freshmen because they just don't know any better in a good way. Where they're just a little, I don't want to say wild, that's not the case, but you see it in training and everything else. Sometimes they just don't know better. And does that help free up the rest of the squad a little bit?
A little bit, yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's like the freshmen, a little naive. They really,
right.
They're coming in, they there's no pressure in many ways, and they just go out and let it go. And sometimes you're going to get the ups and downs more, which you'd expect, but it's great to see the new players also impact so that the returning guys, like, hey, we can count on these guys to make some plays, whether that's a defensive moment, as Josh Mayer has done really well in his minutes so far, whether it's up the field. And we have a few more, we're about to get Easton Bogart into the rotation, which is coming up here this week. So it's another attacker that our fans are going to be really excited to see. So, yeah, the freshmen and the young kids, whether it's Rydell's first minutes last game and others, I feel like that only helps the – and when I say new, we also have Weiss, who's still not really fully ready.
No, he's not fit, you can tell, right?
Yeah, he's a new player. His fitness is good. It's just his
– well, his calf, knock he took. Yeah.
Yeah, the knock he took, just he's not fit for 90 or fit to be able to be – he felt like he was about 80%, and I'm like, man, that's a pretty good performance for 80% against Notre Dame. But, yeah, we haven't even – we get 100% Weiss and get these guys back. I feel good about our attacking options. I do. But scoring goals, as we know, is really hard to do, and we got to get our restarts going a bit. We're doing really well in our throws. Just need to get better on our final third attacking restarts. And if we can get a couple goals that way, then we're multifaceted, and that's what we want to be. We want to be able to score in a lot of different ways.
Attack, attack, attack. Well, we have to defend as well. Todd Yeagley, head coach, Indiana men's soccer. Two goals in St. Louis to open the season. Two goals against Notre Dame. I thought Notre Dame had two chances and took both of them. Harms made one good save. That was not Jenny bar the door, and you're packed in under siege against Notre Dame there. I don't want to say it was a little unlucky, but you know, the first goal from what, right at the top of the box, outside the box, and then the set piece we talked about. Then you go back on Sunday, Yale's in town, and that was one way trafficked. That's what it should look like from the defensive side, correct?
Yeah, no, I mean that's a young team up front. So that most of their veterans are in the midfield and back. They lost a couple key attackers, and we really wanted to make it tough for them to get any rhythm, and I thought we did that. I thought we controlled the game from the first whistle to the last, and they had a couple half chances, won the first half. But Yale's expected, you know, to be an Ivy League contender. If they can get their scoring going a little bit, I do feel like that will be a good win for us down the line. And you want to catch an Ivy League team a little early. They don't have as many opportunities to play because of the way that their rules work with the preseason matches, and they start a weekend later. So there was a little bit of scheduling intent on getting them early and knowing we'd have a couple exhibitions and at least, you know, a game or two under our belt. But yeah, good performance. Again, a good side, Yale. That's not a pushover, you know, team that's going to finish in the bottom of a conference, of an average conference. Ivies are a good conference. They're typically top 6 or 7 RPI as a conference out of the 23 or 24, and they should be in that top third. So, those are all resume builders for us. But again, good performance. I left the weekend at home going, okay, the St. Louis game is out of the system. This is more of what our team will look like moving forward, and I'm still very confident that's the way this team will go.
I don't want to go back to Notre Dame and the refereeing. Oduro suffered a pretty good tackle in the middle of the park in that game. I know the Notre Dame player was booked on that. He didn't play against Yale, so that's that tells me what I needed to know about the challenge. Did you go back and look at that at all?
No, we didn't. I mean, Notre Dame is they're a tough team, but I don't think anything's malicious. And if it was, it was no intent.
Gotcha.
You know, he's just so darn quick and. And
well, he wore one there. Oof.
Yeah, he did. And, yeah, we missed Collins in the Yale game, and yet we're still able to create a bunch. We know Collins is a good of a balancer, and his ability to drive and his movement off the ball, his work defensively is one that, you know, many people look at all his attacking skills, but he also helps set and help us win the ball back with his relentless and his just athletic quality. So
yeah, he gets end to end, no problem. Yeah. We need him.
So yeah, we'll obviously, you know, got him back obviously for last night, and he seems to be on the right place moving forward. So
good.
You could have a couple guys out, Glass. You know that here and there. It's just as long as if one's out, we can hopefully get another one back in. So, you know, we're not stuck with two or three key players out at the same time. That's obviously what we don't want to have happen.
We'll talk about the goals here in a minute because the man who scored them finished off a very busy classic. If we did awards at the end of it, he would have been the offensive player. Well, he's the offensive player of the week in the conference, Tommy Mihalik. But Seth Stewart really grabbed your eye. Seth had not seen the field for a while, Coach. 45 minutes against Yale, and I saw the great locker room video after the game there. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid that played a little bit as a freshman, and his minutes actually declined. He played a little bit in the Clemson game, a couple here and there, and then his minutes declined. And then sophomore year, we decided to redshirt him, knowing that he'd have 3 years remaining. And, you know, we were very honest with Seth. We said, hey, it's going to be maybe difficult to break in the center midfield, who we have coming in, who we have returning, where can you still help us in different roles. So we started experimenting at right back. We started experimenting up the field. And what we really noticed in preseason, and he had a very good summer with his summer team, is that the piece we really missed was Maloon's, you know, kind of setting the standard on the work. And we have other guys that can do that, but Seth can really bring that. And his ability to pick up second balls and still offer as kind of an additional 10 underneath, because he has good instincts as a midfielder. I thought he did a great job, and his work is unique. I mean, that's what Maloon, we weren't, you know, counting. He became Mr. November 4th with goals, but Maloon wasn't one we were like, man, we got to get a goal from Maloon. It was all the other things that he did for us, whether that's stretching an opponent to create space for our playmakers, whether that's, you know, getting on the end of a through ball to get us a front half possession, and then next, you know, it's four passes away and we get a chance. So those are the things that Seth, and he's very liked by the team. He's just a really good kid, and you like to see those kids get rewarded and with just keeping their spirit up and working hard and knowing that maybe it will come, maybe it won't. In this case, it came, and the guy's really happy for him, as we were as a staff.
Take your chances when they are presented, and that provides more depth. And depth never, ever hurts as we move through seasons. Why? Because you have injuries, because you guys get nicked up, you guys get sick, all of those things. So the deeper, the better. And I think the big takeaway for me from the Yale game was your two most experienced attacking players really set the tone. 11 shots between them, two goals. Sammy Sarver gets on the board with an assist, and of course, Tommy from the spot and from the run of play, 2-0 Indiana beats Yale.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy getting three goals to start the year. I mean, we know last year, you know, between goalposts and keeper, you know, save of the year types, and also some of his own lack of composure, all those together, you know, he didn't see a goal until the Trine game. And yet, you really then had a tough middle of the season because he was pressing, so we had to kind of get him in and out of the lineup. So to get him three goals is really important. And I think, you know, Sammy's been, you know, creating. Hopefully he'll get a goal, but he's obviously got a big assist, and we need him to continue to find ways to get assists too, because he's so dangerous getting those moments that he's pulling extra defenders. But yeah, nice to see Tommy. And then again, I think the other players, Weiss and others, because they've had experience and they know they can score, I don't think are pressing one bit. I think they know their time's coming. As long as we get what we need in the game to get the result, then they're in a good place.
Indiana wins against Yale and draws Notre Dame to finish the weekend 1-1. And then last night, Wednesday night, the Selleck Bowl, the annual Butler Indiana Derby. The what we call almost the I-69 Derby now that it's almost finished. Get up there a little bit, a little quicker. Packed house, as always. I don't want to say it's Butler's Super Bowl, kind of like St. Louis, but when you get 4,000 people on a Wednesday night, they've all come to watch and see the Hoosiers. You talk about assists. Well, Mahalik provided it. Patrick McDonald, special left foot. We saw that in the tournament last year, and he gave us a little bit of dose of that last night to give you a 1-0 lead. And then, well, the penalty spot's been a little goofy here early for you. 1-1 the final score last night. Thoughts from the road trip, second road trip of the season, second missed penalty. Well, what are we going to do, huh?
Yeah, I think first, yes, great turnout. Our IU fans, just like when we go to Notre Dame or even when we go up to Chicago, are the markets for Indiana alums, which obviously we have a lot in Indiana, of the living alumni of IU, they came out strong. I feel like that's almost more of a home game for us. And, you know, it's tough to adjust to the Butler Bowl with the turf, no doubt, and we missed a lot of early passes. Not uncharacteristic for other years. Getting the goal was massive. Patrick, you know, finds ways to score big goals. And, you know, not that he doesn't have that in his bag, but that one's not one I see all the time at training. So that's a nice thing when he can, you know, he's such a gamer, which I love. But great goal. And then we draw the penalty. And, yes, you know, now not converting two is not good. So that changes the game. Being 2-0 changes the complexion of the game. They got to maybe push out a little bit more, and maybe that third comes. But we don't convert. Obviously, they get the goal. They pressed more second half. I thought the game really kind of became end-to-end. We had a lot of control in the first half, territorially. I thought, again, we were just off on the final pass, final thought. But we had a lot of it. We had a lot of it. Second half, I thought the game, again, just kind of opened up. Not necessarily the control that we wanted. If we look back, and I'd like to have seen us kind of hold the tempo a little bit more and not give them some transition moments. But they got two outstanding strikers with Gomez and Alt. I mean, honestly, those two together are a handful. And I thought we did a nice job all night, you know, containing most of their shots. We're kind of, you know, half chances, not super high percentage. That's what you got to do against good attackers. And yet, you know, that second goal just wasn't there, and we had so many good attacking moments, Glass. That was the tough part. You know, we had too many, you know, I call 3v2s, 4v3s, where it's just we have to make a better final decision. And
do you guys usually see that much space in the counter? Is that something you deal with often? I wouldn't think many teams would want to get end-to-end with you guys.
No, I was a little surprised. I think they kind of rolled the dice and said, hey, let's see what we can do. And partly why we didn't have as much of it is that if they're going to give us that space behind, we're going to go after you. We have the assets to do that. So we don't need to just methodically move the ball around if they're giving us that space. And we did. I mean, we had countless of opportunities in behind that, you know, again, the turf doesn't make it easy. I think some of those passes, you know, if we're on grass, I think is a little bit easier for our guys, but it's what it is. And I think that, you know, it definitely felt like that was more of a loss last night because of the chances that we had. And obviously the not converting the penalty is tough on the group. And so, yeah, they're going to be, I mean, it was a very quiet ride home. And, you know, does the draw kill us? No. But this team has got a lot of aspirations, and they know that they can't let things slip away. And that's what happened last night.
1-1 draw, the Selleck Bowl, campus of Butler University. Butler 3-0-1 on the year. Is that going to be a good draw down the road? You said it didn't kill you. I didn't see the Butler perspectives before the game.
Yeah, I mean, certainly they're happy leaving the game. You could see it. I mean, obviously they're down one and getting the goal to tie it, obviously. Yeah. But they were pretty content, I think, with that result. I do feel that they have a lot more going forward. I think defensively and transition, I thought we got Butler's best performance. I've seen them in other games maybe pick and choose those moments, and then they slip in a game they maybe shouldn't. That's what I worry about with Butler. They have enough capability to stay with anyone and get a result. It's a hard team to predict on where I think they'll be. I think the tie will be fine when it comes, you know, decision time. I wouldn't say necessarily it'll be a good tie. Could be. I hope it will be. I hope they have a really good season. Like their staff a lot and all that. But I it's too early to tell with that team because they've historically been a very up-and-down group. And I'm not sure what to expect right now with football.
Yeah, if they're throwing caution to the wind against your lot, that's an interesting strategy for Snapey and the boys up there in blue. This is your last weekend off of the season, is it? That can't be right, is it? No weekend game this weekend? Gee whiz, look at you guys. What are you going to do? Go to Mexico for the weekend, put your feet up? No, we're going to get ready for Dayton.
I'm in Cancun right now. You didn't know that?
Hola. Dayton on Monday night. Why are we playing on Monday? What's going on there?
Yeah, well, this just worked out with the scheduling. So for us to be on the road Friday at Rutgers, we wanted to have an earlier in the week game. If it was a Friday home game, we might have done a Tuesday. But with this Wednesday, instead of playing like a Sunday afternoon, we like night games. You know that. I think our team loves them, and I think our crowd likes them. So Monday night just kind of fit in well with this particular segment. So a Wednesday, Monday, Friday versus a Wednesday, Sunday afternoon, because we have plenty enough rest between Monday and Friday, and this gives us another day rest, in between the Butler and the Dayton game for a Sunday. I know some people Sunday afternoons are great for family, and I get that, but you know this time of year with heat, you try to get any night game you can to make sure that the heat doesn't become a factor in the match.
And you don't know that when you make the schedule either. You just assume it will be there this time of year. Dayton, I don't think has been around since the 2011 Classic. That's just off the top of my head. What's the connection there? It's an A-10 school, obviously. What do you like from them that you're going to put your group through before heading to Piscataway on Friday to open the Big Ten regular season?
Yeah, I think Dayton's going to provide a really open game. They have a lot of attacking flair and talent, so I felt like it was not going to be a team that was going to sit and bunker. And we have to beat teams that will do that. I think this team's going to actually play pretty open. They have a big international influence, and so they have a lot of individual talent, and they've done very well in the A-10 the last two or three years. So, you know, from an RPI standpoint, we think they're a team that is capable of winning a lot of games. They already have shown that this year. I think they're undefeated. So this is our schedule's, you know, the good news is our schedule's doing really well. So as we kind of look at these games and the games we've just played, you know, as I say, Butler's in a good place right now. We know Notre Dame will do well. I think Yale will do well. SLU, I'm confident, will do well in the A-10. So this is another, you want to pick up a team that is likely to get good amount of wins. And I think Dayton, with their non-con schedule, and they have a good kind of home field advantage that they're setting, I think that allows us to bring in a team that's hopefully going to have a really good season, and it allows us to get a really important win.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana Men's Soccer. Dayton, Monday Night Football, September 9th, 8 p.m., kickoff from Bill Armstrong Stadium, and then next Friday, a week from tomorrow, September 13th, Piscataway against the Scarlet Knights. We'll talk to Coach before his road trip and after the Dayton game. Then it's back for Evansville and then Maryland. Well, you're not playing Maryland last day of the season. What the heck's going on here? You're going to just complain in a normal normal old Friday in September.
It's the new Big Ten. Yeah, it seems to be that the Maryland game was always late in the year.
I think always. For years.
Yeah, it's so yeah, it will be a little bit different, and it will be fun. It's, I mean, this Big Ten season is, we always say it's a season within a season, Glass, but I think even more so now. I mean, you get through these first three, four, five games, and then whatever your record is, it's like a new season starts. You know, I think teams that have struggled, it gives them a new life. Teams that have been kind of sailing, it's like, okay, welcome to these games, because every game will be a challenge. The conference looks really good, really good. And you throw in the UCLA and Washington. I mean, come on, this is going to be a battle to see who can put their footing down. And you're not going to win it in the first weekend, but certainly getting a road victory at Rutgers to see 3 points in your bag would be a great start to the season.
A lovely springboard, and then you come home the following Tuesday for Evansville. We'll keep everybody up to date on all the scheduling and everything else. We'll get caught up with you next week before you head to New Jersey, and again, get that preview of the Scarlet Knights and recap Dayton. Thank you so much for your time, buddy. It's a solid start to the season. You can see the pieces starting to come together, but we've got a long way to go yet. This will be fun.
Yep. Thanks, Glass.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer coach, joins us every Thursday before the big weekends. Well, this weekend a little quiet. That's all right. They'll get time to get ready for Dayton coming up Monday Night Football, 8 o'clock at Bill Armstrong Stadium.